Talks about that banyan tree which has its root upwards and the branches downwards. Krishna mentions there this Ashwatha tree is difficult to destroy. Avyayam. Avyayam means it's very difficult to destroy. And he also mentioned there Chandamsi Yasya Varnani, the leaves of that tree is Chandasa, Vedam. Vedam in other words. Vedam are the leaves of the tree, Chandasa. Vedic hymns are the leaves of that tree. And Yastam Vedas Vedavil, one who understands this tree, Krishna says, he understands Vedam. Yastam Vedas Vedavil. We have seen what that tree means, isn't it? Ashwatha tree, banyan tree, what is the speciality of that tree? Speciality is this, that just like you have one banyan tree, that banyan tree has hundreds of fruits on that banyan tree. Small fruits, almost the size of a golf ball. And in that fruit, each fruit, if you break them, you will see hundreds of seeds inside. Many seeds inside each fruit. If you take one seed and plant it, from that seed alone, another huge banyan tree can come out. This is the way Krishna has created. Similarly, Krishna is saying that this body, what we have now, is capable of creating many more bodies afterwards, just like the banyan tree. That is the speciality. That's why it's compared to this banyan tree. That this body is capable of generating many more bodies after this. How? Each activity what we perform in this body, it creates what is known as vasana inside, karma vasana, or impression inside. And when that impression builds up, it automatically, it creates another body in order to exhaust those vasanas that's been created inside. Again, in that body, we will perform more activities which will create more vasanas. So similarly, very much similar to the banyan tree, which can keep on multiplying and expanding in large numbers, this only one body is capable of generating more bodies and expanding itself, and in that way maintain our material existence forever. That is why Krishna says there that Ashwatham Praho Avyayam. This Ashwatha tree, banyan tree, is it difficult to destroy and it will remain forever. It has got that capacity to survive in all circumstances. So that is the first verse. Krishna spoke about that. In the second, the first two verses are a reference to that banyan tree, which is referring to this, each one of us, our own material existence. Samsaram, in other words, material existence. Adaschordhvam prasridastasya shaha gunapravardha vishaya pravalam adaschamulani nusandhadani karmanugandhini manushyaloke. Krishna is saying, adaschordhvam prasridastasya shaha. The roots of this banyan tree is always at the top. And the branches are always coming down from there, which we have seen why it is like that. And guna pravardha vishaya pravaha, that gunam, the three modes of material nature which we have discussed in the last chapter, they are the fertilizer for this tree. Because this tree can only grow if the three modes of material nature are present. It supplements everything what is necessary for the tree to grow and to survive and to get stronger and bigger. That is the way that the tree grows, material existence. The tree of material existence, it grows. And the very trunk of the body is the mind. Our own mind is the trunk, not this gross body, but the mind. Mind is considered to be the trunk of that Ashwatha tree. Adhascha moolani anusandadani. And the roots are adhascha moolani. Krishna is saying, unless you cut that tree from the very root of it, that is what is expected of us. To cut that tree from the very root itself. Otherwise, karma anubandhini manushyaloke, it will keep you more and more, it will suck us into it. You will be let sucked into it. Karma anubandhini manushyaloke. This manushyaloke means our human body or this human species or human world. That means earthly planets. We will remain in the earthly planet as long as we have, if you do not cut off that tree from the very root. That is the word Krishna says there. Adascha moolani anusandharani. Why? Because once we come to this world, naturally the tendency is to engage in karma. karmam. Karmam is the nature of this world. It's only in this world karmam exists, and only in this world karma phalam exists, results of karmam, karmic activities. So anyone who comes here, as is in the Bhagavatam, that rajodigaha karma paraha, as soon as one, because of the rajogunam in us, we will get absorbed in the karmam. And that karmam will bind us. Karmam will naturally bind us. Karma means karma vasana, karma phalam, the result. And in turn, in results of that is fresh karmam. Will karma vasana will generate another fresh body and further karmam onwards, exactly like the banyan tree. So those two verses Krishna spoke, which we have seen before in the beginning. Then after that, Krishna mentioned in another two verses, he said that in order to, before cutting that tree, another aspect of that tree, what he spoke in the third verse, narubam asyeha tatova labhyane na andam na chadir na ja sampradishtaha. In order to understand the nature of this tree is that narubam asyeha tatova labhyane, if you try to understand the way how this has come into existence, its form, it's very, very difficult to understand. Krishna says, why? Because it has no beginning, it has no end, and also you do not know where it is placed, where is it kept, what is the foundation on which it is created. Nothing is known to us. We can see that. Our material existence, when it has started, when this material existence is going to come to an end, and naja sampradishta, where is it, why is it created, all these things are unknown to us at the moment, is it not? So long as we are situated in the material body and we are in this material world, it will remain like that. That is what Krishna is saying to us. It will be very difficult to find out. We saw yesterday that even the modern science trying to find out what is the root of all this? Why is this creation? How this creation has happened? Krishna's point is, don't inquire into that. Don't inquire into that. Because that inquiry will not get us anywhere. That is the main problem. Because the one who has created this is saying to us, don't try. Don't waste your time, in other words. Narubam asyeha tatova labhyate na andaha. There is no end to this. It will go on like this. This material world will go on like this. We are just temporary visitors. Come and go on from here. Then we'll come back again here and go again from here. But this temporary, this material world in this format as it is presented to us will remain like this. We are temporary visitors in this. And many times we have visited this, left this place. And we have come back again here. And we'll go again from here. And then you'll come back again here. So that's what Krishna is saying here. But narubam asyeha tatova labhyate na andaha na chabir na chadir na cha sampradishtaha. The beginning also we don't know when this has all started and when it's going to come to an end, nor on what basis does it exist. Nobody has an answer to that, isn't it? No one has able to find out why this creation and why are we subjected to this situation, like the way we have to accept this body, reject the body, accept the body, reject the body. This cycle, continuous cycle of birth and death. Krishna says, naja sampradishtaha and ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asangashastrena tridena chitva ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam. Krishna says that because it is like that, the intelligent thing to do is to cut this tree of this existence suvirudhamulam, from the very root itself, and that has to be done through asangam, asangatvam, asangatvam, asangashastram. Asangashastram means the arrow of asangatvam, with full detachment. Krishna says it's full detachment. We will see that later, what this detachment means. Because often when we say detachment, people just think that it is giving up everything. No, it's not that simple like that, what Krishna is saying. Asanga shastrena, but dridhena chitva. Dridhena chitva means with firm determination. In other words, Krishna expects complete commitment to spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, such a person who has come to that state, who is inquiring about the truth and who wants to kill this tree, Ashwatha tree, of material existence, what's his destination? That is the next verse. Tattadapadam dal parimargiravyam yasmin gadatna nivartandi bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham pura pradadye yada pravarti prasada purani. Tadapadam dal parimargiravyam. Krishna says, we should inquire about that situation where this cycle of birth and death doesn't exist. And Krishna is saying, yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha. What is the main difference between spiritual world and material existence? That's what Krishna is saying there. Material existence means accepting, rejecting bodies. Continuously accepting and rejecting the bodies. Spiritual world, spiritual existence means never changing the body. Tadapadandal parimargidavyam. Their inquiry finishes. No more changing body afterwards. This is spiritual life. No more changing body afterwards. That means once this material body is gone, not to accept another material body again. Come back to our spiritual identity, whatever that may be. Tameva jadyam purusham prabadye. Krishna is saying, in order to do that, there is only one way this can happen. By surrendering to Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart. Tameva jadyam purusham prabadye yada pravrti prasada purani. Yada pravrti prasada purani. And I surrender unto him. Krishna saying like this. So these four verses we have so far discussed in this chapter. One thing we have talked about yesterday, that Chaitanya means living force. Living force by nature is eternal, isn't it? Living force inside, Alma, the soul, Brahman, whichever way you call that, the very nature of that is, it's pure. It cannot be contaminated by anything. Body has got contamination. Mind is contaminated. Intelligence is contaminated. False ego is contaminated. Everything else in this package, in this body, is contamination can happen. But Alma can never be contaminated. Nityam, eternal, Shuddham, it's always pure. Buddham, it's always fully conscious. You will see the many prayers in the Bhagavadam talking about that purity of the consciousness. Devaki Devi, Vasudeva, the nine sages, they all talk about that consciousness behind it. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, fully conscious. And what else? Muktam. It's always liberated. So, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is how it is addressed in the Bhagavadam. That eternal, always pure. We have to define the soul. Otherwise, it's difficult, isn't it? Everything, unless we explain the characteristics of the Jadam and Chaitanyam, living force and the dead matter. Prahlad Maharaj does that in the 7th canto. You may have seen that in two verses, in one verse he talks about the 12 characteristics of the soul, another verse he talks about the 12 characteristics of the body, of the dead matter. So similarly, here also, eternal and pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That is living force. And material body, and creation means, in that basis, on that on that pure consciousness or Chaitanyam or the living force, what comes out is creation, the Jadam or dead matter. What we see as creation, all the creation has come from the living force, from the living force. So that is what is called the creation. What that comes out from that basis of living force, from there what has come out, what we see here, is the creation. So therefore, because it has come from the living force, creation is not different from the living force. This is the reason behind that. Because creation has come from living force, it's not separate from the living force. It is Krishna. What is that has come out from Krishna? Secondly, we have seen that also in that the aham evasam evagre nanyanjat sarsatparam paschadaham yadedacha yomashishyada sosmeham. In that first verse in the Chalashlogi Bhagavadam, which is known as Egashlogi, there Krishna is saying that before creation happened, Krishna existed. That means Chaitanyam existed. Krishna is spirit, isn't it? Living force. Krishna existed before creation. And which means, Krishna means also the knowledge. Like Bhagavatam says in the beginning, in the first canto, that vadandida tattvaidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. That advaya jnanam, or pure knowledge, is addressed as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdade. So that advaya jnanam, knowledge existed before creation. So these two things. First thing, from Chaitanyam or living force comes creation. Number two, before creation, knowledge existed. That's more important. Because without that knowledge, this creation could not have happened. Knowledge is the very nature of Krishna Swarupam. Krishna, as discussed in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is addressed as knowledge. In many places you will see in the Bhagavadam, he is addressed as that knowledge itself. Transcendental knowledge itself is Krishna. So, therefore, it is not different what we have seen yesterday. And there we also mentioned that this knowledge, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavadam, where Krishna is saying that this realization, when that is complete, that is known as sannyasam also. Sannyasam is like that. Sannyasam jnana lakshanam, says. Acharya says sannyasam jnana lakshanam. So that is why sannyasam, another place it says that kashayam naja mundanam, taking to saffron clothes, or shaving of the head, or carrying the water pot, or carrying a danda, is not considered as sannyasam. These are all external symptoms for the world, only for the world to know that he has accepted the sannyasa ashram. But what is real sannyasam then? He says that kashayo naja mundanam, not saffron clothes or the mundanam, that means shaving of the hair. These are or the water pot, carrying the water pot, or the danda. All these are external things. Krishna has not spoken about that. What Krishna is saying here, that knowledge of the self is sannyasam. Knowledge of the self is sannyasam. So one who has that realization of the self, whether he is a householder, whether he is a emperor, or whether he is in the middle of all kinds of transactions in this world, vyavaharam in other words, whatever it may be, if he has the knowledge of the self, he is a sannyasi. This is how Krishna sees a sannyasam. Krishna's way of looking at sannyasam is like that. Unfortunately, we have been trained to think in different ways, many often, isn't it? But what you see from Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, Krishna is saying there, that is the reason why Krishna, Janaka Maharaj, who was a householder, he has been quoted in the Bhagavad Gita as the authority. Not any sannyasi's name is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Krishna sees vairagyam and alpajnanam, knowledge of the self, as the qualification for sannyasam. Nothing else. Astito janagadaya, he says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita you will see. Krishna is quoting Janaka Maharaj as an authority on spiritual life and an ideal sannyasi in the Bhagavad Gita. Sannyasi's qualifications, when he is talking about, he is bringing a householder and presenting it to us. So from there you can see that when Krishna is talking about sannyasam, sannyasam jnana rakshanam, that sannyasam is knowledge of the self. Not the intellectualization, that is no good, but in experiential level. In experiential level, if he has a realization of the self, he is a sannyasi. That is how Krishna sees that. We have to get rid of a lot of misconceptions about all these things. We are always misled by many, always by the dress, outside dress. Outside dress is no value. Who cares for outside dress? In spiritual life, outside dress is not important. What is important is what Krishna is saying here is that sannyasam jnana lakshanam. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Jnanam, the knowledge of the self, is accepted as sannyasi, no matter who it is. That is why if you look back into the spiritual history in the world, you will see sannyasis are everywhere. They are born and they live their life of spiritual life and the knowledge of the self. So, Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchidarthaha Sanyasa Yoga Yehyad Shuddha Sattvaha Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchidarthaha. Vedanta Vijnanam, that knowledge of the Vedam, Vedic knowledge in essence, Vedanta knowledge, Sunishchidarthaha, that Vijnanam, that knowledge is in full realization inside that personality. And Sanyasa Yoga Yehyad Shuddha Sattvaha. That, so this Vedanta Vijnanam, the knowledge of Vedantam is Sannyasa Lakshanam. And Vedanta Vijnanam Dardhyam, Dardhya Dradadha. Krishna says, the word, uses the word Dardhyam. You will see that many places the word used Dardhyam. Dardhyam means Dradadha. Dradadha means firmness in that, firmly fixed in that. In other words, not on an intellectual level, but on an experiential level. Experiential level. That means through experience, that firmness inside the person, which comes from what we call as anubhuti. From anubhuti it has to come. So, so once that happens, Krishna is saying here, in the next verse, that is what Krishna is going to talk about, that once that experiential level, when it happens, realization comes to him, and asangatvam comes to him. Asangatvam, what Krishna mentioned in that verse. From that asangatvam, it leads into what is known as, he is able to give up this material existence once for all. Krishna said there, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, isn't it? That asanga shastram. Asanga shastram, what that leads into, complete dismantling that tree. That tree is completely broken, completely cut off with that, he says there. So, one thing we have to remember here, when we say giving up the tree, we giving up this world, our attachment to this world, then we have to think, how will you give up this world? That's the biggest question, isn't it? How to give up this world? You can't smash it down and throw it in the sea, can you? Because we are in the middle of this whole thing, right in the heart of that. So, so whatever you may do, you are still with inside that. You can't come out of it. You are right inside this world. So that is why, what is this giving up means? So Krishna says, tells give up, he says. Is it not? What is that giving up means? Giving up means is, Tyagaha prabhancha rupasya brahmalpa tattvam avalokana tyagohi mahadam pujyaha sadyo mokshamayo viduhu. Ajahn Swami mentions there that, Tyagam prabhancha rupasya. Tyaga means sacrificing this thing, which is present in all of us, in the form of this world. Prapancharupam. Prapancharupam means that is present in us in the form of the world. We, because we have allowed the world to grow inside us to such an extent that we are now finding it difficult to come out of that world. We have created an artificial world inside with our mind, isn't it? And we are living in that world. We have our own world that has been created. So, how will we come out from that? Brahmatma Dattvam Avalokanat. When our inquiry about the self begins, when we are looking for the realization of the self, at that time, what has happened to us is, in the world, due to our association with the world, we have got into this habit of developing attachment to Namarupam. Yesterday we mentioned that. Different names, different forms in this creation, we got attached to. That is where all the problems started. With the attachment to a name and form, because everything that has come in the name and form is creation, isn't it? What does creation mean? Creation means name and form. Lot of living entities, different names, different forms. Dead matter also, different names, different forms. We will look at that. All this has come from where? From the Chaitanyam, from the living force it's come. But, like we discussed yesterday, that instead of seeing the gold, we are seeing the jewelry. What we are seeing is the jewelry, we don't see the gold. So, similarly, due to the association with the names and forms of this world, Namarupam, what happened to us? Ragadvesham came from that. Because of Namarupam, Ragadvesham has come. Ragadvesham means attachment and aversion. This attachment and aversion has developed inside. Why? Because of our contact with names and forms. They have created that. I like this, I don't like it. I'm happy with this, I'm not happy with that. I like this person, I don't like that person. Why this has happened in us? And that has caused all these problems. Ragadvesham has come from Namarupam. Namarupam, we talked about yesterday, that two things. First thing, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam Ragadvesham is Jagat. Isn't it? That you should never forget that. World means what? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Attachment, aversion. Four things. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And attachment and aversion. Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Ragam, Dvesham. Four things. Out of these four, Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam has nothing to do with the world. It's always inside me. Is it not? It will not go outside and cause any problems. It's always inside me. I have to get rid of it. There's nobody else is going to do anything about it. Raga Dvesham is due to Namarupam. Because I am seeing everything through Namarupam, Namarupam creates that attachment, name and form creates the attachment and aversion in me. Is it not? Whereas Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, this is only inside me. That is due to my false ego, Ahankaram. That's the cause behind that. We will come to that later. But Krishna is saying here that you will see in the next verse, when these names and forms, what is appearing in the creation, when we are seeing that it is Krishna who is present in everything and not seeing the external form or the name of that person, or start realizing they are also Krishna who is present inside, in that case, there is no chance of specifically creating any attachment or aversion. Asakti or Vairagyam will not happen there, because Ragadvesham won't happen. You won't have any Ragadvesham. You won't have any particularly any special attachment to a particular name or form, or to any aversion or hate towards any name and form. This will not happen. If the only way Krishna said this in the 11th canto, you can see that also, where he said that to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is only one way, isn't it? What did he say? Praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokharam. Remember? In the 11th canto? Why did he say like that? He's saying to us that if you want to come out of this, because Namarupam creates this Ragadvesham inside, in the world, is it not? Because we have to deal with Namarupam in this world, different people, different subhavam, different nature, and different background. So all that will create Ragadvesham. You can see this very easily, how it creates in us Ragadvesham. It's not very difficult to understand how it creates Ragadvesham inside. Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, nobody can help. We have to do it ourselves. But Ragadvesham, attachment and aversion, it is caused by the outside, Namarupam, which has come from outside. That is where this correction is required, what Krishna is telling us. Remember in the 11th canto, if you look at it, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Ashva Chandala Ghokaram, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? In the, I think it is in the 28th chapter, if you look into the 28th chapter. And that is the final instruction to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, there's nothing much I can do, because Uddhava says all this is very, very difficult. Because after talking about self-realization to Uddhava, Uddhava heard 27 chapters, and in the 28th chapter, 29th chapter, he says, Uddhava says to him, Sudhuscharam imam manye, the first verse, Yogacharyam anal manaha, yada anjasa puman siddhir tanme bruhi anjasa chudaha. That Sudhuscharam imam manye, this yoga system what you have spoken to me so far, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, it's very, very difficult. So at that time you can see how Krishna replies. Krishna is saying, Handa, what can I say? He says. You know, when you feel helpless at the end, you have spoken a lot to somebody and that person says, I can't understand anything. So you feel you have wasted all your energy talking, and then you feel, Handa, what am I supposed to say? In that way, Krishna is saying there, Handa, Handa de kathayishyami, what am I going to tell you? What can I tell you? He says. But then he says to him that it is there, he says to him, Brahmane pulkase stene, Brahmane arke pulingage, akrure krurage jaiva samadrak pandido madaha. No matter who it is, whether he is a Brahmana, learned Brahmana, or as a pulkasa. Pulkasa means one who is coming from a very lower background. Stene, one who is a thief. Brahmane arke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrak pandido madaha. No matter who it is, Krishna is saying samadrak. Equal vision has to happen. And that won't happen. That is not easy. Why? Namarupam won't allow that. As soon as Namarupam is creating ragadvesham inside, this samadrik will not happen. Generally people think, oh, I should see everywhere Krishna. How will it happen? It's not going to happen. It's not possible. Because there is a reason behind it. Because every Namarupam creates ragadvesham inside. It will create ragadvesham inside. It will give you many examples. You can look at it yourself, think about it, and you will see how true that is. How Namarupam creates ragadvesham inside. And then, Krishna mentions there, Nareshva Bhishnam Madbhavam Pumso Bhavayadu Achiral Spardha Asuya Tiraskaram Sahangaram Viyandihi. And Visrajasmayamanansan Drisham Vredam Jadehigim Praname Dandavadbhoma Ashwa Chandala Ghogharam. That was the solution. That was the problem. Krishna says to Uddhava, if you can't do anything else, this is the only way to come out of it. If it is causing you so much problem, because Uddhava says, how do I see everywhere your presence in everyone? That's a bit difficult. Because earlier, even after Vichugita, is all about that. To having the same problem. Uddhava mentions there, isn't it? In this world, everybody won't deal with you in the same way. Somebody will be friendly. Somebody will be very inimical. Someone will praise you. Somebody will insult you. All this is a part of this world. Isn't it? So, Krishna is saying, Visarjas mayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehigim. Those who are in the bodily concept of life, it is because of our bodily concept, bodily identity, we have this problem. Bodily identity means what? False ego. Is it not? Visarjas mayamanansan swan drisham vridamcha dehigi. Dehigi means one who is in the identification with the body. And in order to visarja, to come out of that, drisham vridamcha dehigim, he has only one way he can do it. What's that? Praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandalakho gharam. No matter who it is in this world, whether it is Ashwa Chandala Ghogaram, whether it's a dog, whether it's a dog eater, whether it's a cow, whether it's an ass, or it's a Brahmana, fall down on the ground and pay your obeisances to him, to that person, whoever it is. This is Krishna's solution. If you do that, Krishna says, in due course of time, instead of seeing that body outside, you will start seeing Krishna's presence inside. And that is one way of coming out of this situation. There is no other easy shortcut than that. That is the easiest sadhana what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad. Visrajas mayamanan swan drishan vridamcha dehigim praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala kogharam. That is the answer. We'll look at that verse when you come to that later. So, why all this? Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken, what did he say? Vidya vinaya sampanni brahmane gavihastini shuni jaiva shobageja pandita samadarshina. Again he has said that in the beginning. That samadarshitvam. Samadarshitvam means what? Samadarshitvam is not possible till we see Krishna's presence in every living being. Otherwise, it's not possible. This equal vision, we all say, everybody, we all want to be equal, isn't it? Communism has also come from that principle, equal, they want to be equal. But they want to have it on the bodily level, it didn't work. That equality is only possible on the spiritual level. There is not possible in the bodily level. It is never possible. That is the point Krishna is making. That bodily level, however hard you may try, it's not possible because Krishna has given us different bodies. What can we do? That means we have to work against Krishna's plan. That will not work. That will not happen. So, on a bodily concept, that equality is not possible. In spiritual life, it is possible, but only the way Krishna has spoken. You have to reach that state. Praname dandavad bhumau asya chandala khoganam. Krishna says, whether he is a chandala, or is a dog eater, or a dog, or is a cow, or an ass, whatever it is, doesn't matter. No matter what form of the body, doesn't matter. If you pay obeisances, Krishna says, slowly you will not see the body anymore, you will see Krishna inside. You will see Krishna inside. That's also difficult, isn't it? When you see, come out now, a dog is passing through. I tell the dog, let me pay your obeisances to you. Dog won't look at you, it will just go like that. Isn't it? So, same thing, that is the difficulty. That's what Krishna is going, that's why we have to understand this verse, what Krishna is going to say in the next verse, the difficulty of that. So, Krishna's point is that, important thing to remember is this, that out of this four thing, kartrutva bhoktrutvam ryagadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is completely in your hands. It's nothing, nobody is going to come and help you on that. Ragadvesham, because it is caused by the Namarupam outside, if that Namarupam can be seen as Krishna's manifestation, Krishna is present in them, presence in them, then slowly that Ragadvesham will not happen from the Namarupam. Namarupam will not create Ragadvesham. In other words, mind has this problem. This is due to the mind again. Mind is or not is causing that problem. Mind will not develop any contact. Mind can only make contact with Namarupa. That is the beauty of mind. We are exploiting the weakness of the mind. Mind's weakness, that it can only make contact with Namarupa, name and form. Because Namarupa will come in the limit of the mind, within the jurisdiction of the mind. It can measure things, isn't it? Suppose, as soon as you see a person, first what do? You look at the person, his form, how he looks, old man, young person, man, woman, all sorts of, which country he comes from, all sorts of thoughts comes through the mind. So immediately you make a judgment inside, some ragam or dvesham has developed, based on seeing the form itself, is it not? Suppose you are wearing the dhoti, you walk through the street, they will say, oh, he's different than us. Some ragam or dvesham has developed in the person who is watching at you. If you have a shikha, they will say, oh, look at his hairstyle, he will say. It must be the latest one or something. Some thought will come through the person who is looking at you. Or they will say, that, oh, where is he from? Which part of the world is he coming from? Something like that thought will come through a person's mind. Is it not? It is quite a natural thing. That's how ragadvesham comes. How ragadvesham builds up inside? Just by seeing someone, you don't have to even speak to that person. Just by seeing a person, some impressions comes inside in a very natural way. That depends on the vasanas inside. You will create some impression inside. Something it will come through our mind. Every one of us experiences that. So Krishna is saying, that one who, but where is that happening? It's happening in the mind, is it not? It's nothing to do with the self. It's all happening in the mind. So, this mental interaction with the world outside, with the Namarupam, that is causing this Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham is caused by the mind, which makes the impression based on the contact it makes with the world outside. But Krishna's point here, that when you develop this principle of what Krishna said, that present Krishna, when Krishna's presence is recognized in every living entity, and she starts seeing that everywhere what you are seeing is Krishna's manifestations, then this mind will stop working, creating this impression inside. It will stop this business. Now when we see people, we create something inside, about some opinion about that in our own way. We'll keep it inside. We may not say it, but it will be there inside. When you walk through high street also, you will see people, all sorts of people you see in the high street. And you will see, oh, and everyone is extraordinary when you look at. Everybody is different, isn't it? Everybody is different. And then we say, oh, it's all multicultural and ethnic minority or whatever words we want to use it. We'll say so many different things to explain all that in a very nice way. What it all means is that it's creating ragadvesham inside. So a person who has come out from this, not creating any more impressions inside, when he sees Namarupam, Krishna is saying, that person particularly doesn't require any special effort in spiritual life. He's already moved a lot higher. Krishna says this in the 10th canto, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at the 10th chapter, there is a verse there where Krishna calls this as avikampana yoga. That is a word Krishna has used there. We talked about that at that time. It's in the 10th chapter you will see there. Seventh verse. Edam vidhi vibhudim yogam cha mamayo veti tattvada sovikalpena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. That is that. That where, you see, sovikalpena yogena, that is called avikampana yogam. The word itself is avikampana yogam. Sovikalpena, avikalpena means without division. You see that translation word by word, if you look, you will see there. Avikalpena. Sovikalpena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. Sovikalpena means, avikalpena means without division. Namarupam means what? Division, isn't it? You are dividing, putting people in different boxes. So that will stop. Not only people, even other living entities. Everything will go. That is that sovikalpena yogena means. Sovikalpena means you are not anymore putting people into boxes. Namarupam is not affecting you anymore. That is what Krishna is talking about. Edam vibhudim yogam cha mamayo veti tatvada. One who has understood, realized me properly, Krishna is saying, sovikalpena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. Sovikalpena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. So that is that Krishna is talking about. That sovikalpena, avikampana yogam, Krishna says there. Sovikalpena yogena avikampita yogam. Ujjare natra samshaya. So, what's the speciality with him? Speciality with that person is, if he is sitting down, if he is walking, if he is having his prasadam, or if he is doing any other activities in this world, he is right in the middle of all other people doing all sorts of things. He is not doing anything. He is not doing anything. So that is why they give the example like this. Nothing can pollute him because he has come out of the vyavaharam. Vyavaharam won't cause any problem in him. Why? So vikalpena yogena. No vikalpam is coming inside. Vikalpam means what? These impressions, what is created by the namarupam. That's stopped completely in him. They give the example that in the sky, lot of clouds are coming and then they leave. But sky is not affected, isn't it? When the clouds come, it gets dark. When the clouds move away, it gets bright. But no matter what happens, the sky is unaffected. Similarly, one who has cleared this principle, this tattvam, paramatma of Krishna's, this principle what Krishna has spoken here, for him, the movement of the mind or the movement of the body will have no impact in him. Will have no impact in him. In other words, he's always in a pure state. That's what that verse is saying. Sovikalpena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. That's sovikalpena, avikalpa yogam. It's called, Krishna calls it like that. So, when we come to that state, that purity, what happens, when there is no impressions created inside,
by the external things, namam and rupam, inside. Krishna says, this tree what we were talking about, samsara vriksham, ashwatha tree what we are talking about, it is no more that tree, but instead that tree has changed its form. That ashwatha tree what we are talking about, it's not anymore that ashwatha tree, material existence. Instead it turns into brahma vriksham. It's purely brahma. Everything is brahma. So that is the way to cut that tree off. It changes, the tree changes its color. So the tree what we are perceiving, experiencing now, that's the tree what Krishna has spoken in the earlier verses, isn't it? So, the one who has understood this tree in its proper form, which is Brahma Vriksham, instead of Samsara Vriksham, Samsara Vriksham is the tree what is explained here. When we realize it as Brahma Vriksham, as Brahmam, everything, instead of Samsara material existence, Krishna is saying that he has understood that tree properly. That is why in that first verse, if you look, Yastvam Vedasa Vedavit, he says, who is Vedavit? One who has seen this tree, which is Samsara Vriksham, material existence tree, when he is seeing that as Brahma Vriksham, Brahmam tree, then he is Vedavit. He has learned the Vedavit. Or in other words, once you have known this tree as Brahmam, then not as creation, not as the Samsara Vriksham, or Atma. Instead of trees generally we refer to as matter, but instead it is known as Atma. And then Paramatma, which is Paramatma form, that's what Krishna is talking about. Once he starts seeing like that, then Krishna is saying that he has seen it properly. He has seen it properly. There is a very good example that to explain this. In the Tirumandira, Tirumula mentions this. He says that there was they made a huge elephant out of wood. A huge elephant out of wood. And a father brought the child there. Child saw the wooden elephant, wanted to climb over it. Actually, that's the child's nature. Child thinks that's elephant. And child climbs over the elephant. Child climbs over the elephant. And child is not bothered whether it's wood or whatever, whether it has got life or something. He is simply attracted by that form of the elephant, isn't it? When you take the children to the park, they also make so many different forms there. Children get on top of it. They make the models of train engines and trains and buses and everything. They get into it. They believe fully that it is the bus or the train. They are happy with that, the form, what they've seen, isn't it? Whether it is real bus or train doesn't matter. Similarly, this model also of the elephant, it is made and kept there in first class wood, a huge elephant. When the child saw, child wanted to climb over the elephant and enjoy playing with the elephant. Then a carpenter comes that way. Carpenter looks at it. What does carpenter looks at? Carpenter looks at it, what kind of wood it is made of. He's not seeing the elephant, he's seeing the wood. He's seeing the wood. He is not bothered whether it's elephant or something else, it doesn't matter. He takes his chisel and scrapes on the wood to see whether it's a, what quality of wood it is, because the elephant, after being polished and all that, is not able to know what kind of wood is being used. But as soon as he starts applying the chisel, he knows that it is some high quality wood, and he is seeing only the wood. The child is seeing only the elephant. Child is seeing only the elephant. Similarly, this is the important thing. It's a very important Vedantic principle this is. Similarly, Krishna is saying that this creation is material elements. This creation is material elements. We see the material elements only. Only. A jnani comes, he sees only Krishna here. He doesn't see the material elements. Exactly in the same way. That is the difference. That's the difference. The child and the carpenter, they're completely different, they are seeing things. Is it not? Similarly, here, in this world, when we are living here, we also see the same thing. We are looking everywhere, we don't see Krishna anywhere. We see everything else except Krishna. A realized soul, he sees only Krishna here, nothing else. This is the difference. I think we can understand where we stand now. Isn't it? How difficult it is. So where is the change? Change is in the vision. World will not change. World will be as it is. It is our vision that has to change. This is spiritual life. Changing our own vision is spiritual life, not changing the world. We think we have to change the world. We'll change the whole. The world will never change. You can, many Mahatmas have said this. It's like the dog's tail. Always like this. You put a pipe on top of it. For 1,000 years you leave it and pull the pipe out, the tail will go back like this. That is this world. Anyone who has tried to change this world, it finally ends up in frustration. Everybody. Even Krishna says this. That this created like this, he says, don't touch it. He said, get out of this place. That's the answer. Not try to change the world. Changing world is not possible because it's her fortress it is. Sri Parvati's fortress. She is not going to allow you to change it. That's why she is so strong. She is strong controlling this, isn't it? Material energy. That means you have to change the material energy. Material energy you can't change. She is her own strength. She'll display that. So that is why that we have this difficulty that we are looking at it and we are thinking that we should. No. Change has to happen in us, not in the world. Our vision has to change. Then you will see this very world, what is manifested in front of us, we will see it in a different way. That's the only solution to the problem. There is no other solution to the problem. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to show this story of Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, only to show this to us, we are attracted by all other things there, isn't it? What happened with... And we like to demonize Hiranyakashipu and say that how bad he was, how good we are compared to him. We feel better then when we get someone else to who talk lower than us. But that is not the idea behind it. As I mentioned many times before, Hiranyakashipu managed to get back in 3 lifetimes. We are still here after 300 million lifetimes. There is no chance of going back still. So important thing is that this story of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, if you look, that conversation if you observe between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu got upset. Why? Hiranyakashipu seeing only the world. Only the world he is seeing. Prahlada is seeing only Krishna everywhere. Is it not? Prahlada sees only Krishna everywhere. What can he do? He is seeing Krishna everywhere. Hiranyakashipu is seeing only the world. No Krishna at all anywhere. That is why finally, when he wanted to kill Prahlada, when he pulled out his sword, he hit the pillar. And he got angry and says to Prahlada, Kasmal stambham na drishyade. Why don't I see him in this pillar? Prahlada says, I am seeing him. Prahlada is actually seeing the pillar itself as Krishna. That is how Prahlada, that is that vision change in the Prahlada. Prahlada's vision has changed. Prahlada looks at the pillar and says, here is Krishna standing there. Therefore, Prahlada was not disturbed at all. Whereas, he says to him that, drishyade na drishyade, he says, who says? Hiranyakashipu says, I am not seeing Krishna. Both of them are arguing each other. So, Hiranyakashipu is thinking, Prahlada is making fun of me. He says, he's having a go at me, saying that, oh, I am seeing Krishna. And I am not seeing anything, Hiranyakashipu is saying. Drishyadena khalu, I am not seeing, he says here. So both of them, Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, both of them are at the same place, standing next to each other. Prahlada is seeing Krishna everywhere. Hiranyakashipu is seeing only the world, nothing else. This is that difference. This is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse. All this is about this changing the vision. That is the most important thing. Krishna says, Prahlada says to him, actually that pillar, when he hit the pillar, Narasimha Murthy came from that. But in reality, Prahlada was seeing pillar itself as Krishna. And Narasimha Murthy came out from that later, afterwards, isn't it? So, this is the difference in the drishti, in the vision, the drishti. So, earlier in that example, when you see the wood, you won't see the elephant. When you see the elephant, you won't see the wood. The child is seeing the elephant. The carpenter sees the wood. Carpenter only seeing the wood. He is not seeing the elephant. He is not bothered what it is. He is more, because he is naturally just like the goldsmith. They will always look at the gold and they will tell you what. How many carats or what the purity of the gold. They can make it out easily from their experience. Similarly, carpenters with the wood, they do the same thing. Once they see the wood, they are so much in union with the wood, in their thoughts, mind, everywhere, that they will immediately get attracted to see what kind of wood that is. So, naturally it is tuned in that way, the child is tuned in the other way. So, similarly, when you start seeing the elephant form, the wood has lost its importance. Or when you start seeing the wood, the elephant has lost its importance. Similarly, Krishna and the five material elements. When we see the material elements, Krishna is not seen anywhere. When you see Krishna, you don't see the material elements anymore. Right now, we are seeing the material elements, isn't it? In different name and form, we are seeing the material elements. This seeing material elements in names and forms will disappear when we see Krishna everywhere. So, so even if you look at it from the point of view of the science, it's the same thing. Science is saying to us that even for this mic, they will say in the modern way, they'll say it's all electrons and protons and neutrons and all ons, whatever it is. They'll say like that, isn't it? In the scientific language, if you say like that. But Vedam says, no. What they're saying, science is saying, there is only nothing exists here except these electrons and protons and neutrons. Vedam says to us that there nothing exists here. There is no electron, proton, neutron. What exists there is only pure consciousness. Consciousness is this mic. Consciousness transformed into other things. So, Shuddha Prajna, that means Bodham, pure consciousness alone exists. So, you can see that this inquiry of this we talked yesterday, God particle, what the scientists are trying, it's not a particle. Particle, every particle, finally it is consciousness. Consciousness is the origin of everything. Chaitanyam, or living force. That's the most important point. They give the example that when you start seeing consciousness, then namarupam, name and form, disappears. Name and form disappears at that time. Just like when you go into the ocean, you look at the ocean, huge waves are coming from there, and these waves are made of, is also water, but with lot of foam and bubbles, and in the form of big waves, they come. But when they all go back and again joins the ocean, it's again, ultimately it's all water. Water has come and taken different forms, isn't it? So, in the twilight, you saw a snake. You couldn't see very well. When you looked, there was a snake. You brought the torch and looked at it. What did you see? You see that it's a rope. It is a rope. So, similarly, a rope you have seen as the snake. Similarly, all with the earth you make all, these are examples in the Bhagavatam itself. The Mrtika Satyam. Mrtika means clay. With the clay, you make different kinds of pots. Namarupam. Again, Namarupam. You can make water pot, you can make a flower vase, you can make a cooking pot, you can make glasses, everything with the clay, isn't it? Various forms, but material is still clay. Material is still clay. When you smash everything down and put it together, they all become one clay. It's only clay there, isn't it? So this, our consciousness, when it is thinking that when it is transformed into different names and forms, and if we develop our faith in the form, satyatva buddhi, they call it. Satyatva buddhi means, we start thinking this, names and forms are real, not the vastu, what it is made of. That's what happens. Satyatva Buddhi means that. Name and form becomes real for us. So we start thinking, each one of them are separate. From the clay, when we made various things, we start thinking, oh, this is a water pot, this is a cooking pot, or this is a flower vase, or this is something else, but all made of clay. But we don't see it anymore like that. We are seeing it purely in the name and form of that particular thing. So, once you develop like that, what will happen is that raga dvesham will come because of the name and form. You like some pots, you don't like some other pots. Something else you don't like, which is made of the same clay. And naturally, attachment from the raga dvesham comes asakti. Remember that asakti we talked about yesterday. From ragam dvesham comes asakti. Asakti means attachment. Attachment develops. Will all happen like that. On the other hand, if you come out of this different name and form, in everywhere that is, Krishna is present in everything, if that realization comes, the mind won't get caught up in that. Mind can free itself from that attachment. That is the principle. That is the principle. So, because all name and form, what we see in this world, is also Krishna, another name and form has taken. That we have cannot forget it. You will see this later in the Bhagavad Gita, how firmly it is spoken. Krishna has spoken that. So, there is a book called Vasudeva Mananam. It's a famous Vedantic text. If you look there, you will see some interesting story. A householder, he has been a householder for a while, and finally he gave up everything and took sannyasam and left home. Vasudeva Mananam is a famous Vedantic text. You can see in the internet also. So he goes and lives in a spiritual master's place. He lives with the spiritual master for quite a period of time. And spiritual master instructed him in his sadhana, how he should practice spiritual life and things like that. And his idea was to instruct him in such a way that this mind, which was causing him a lot of problem, he wanted to bring this mind under control by instructing him various things. So, but no matter how much instruction was given to him, his mind was not subduing. It was not surrendering. Mind was not surrendering. So finally he told, spiritual master gave him some sadhana process, meditation, japam, chanting, and so many other things to get the mind under control. But he couldn't control his mind. One day he comes up to the spiritual master and says to him that I'm unable to do anything about the mind. Mind is not surrendering. Mind is still playing its game. I don't know what to do about that. So the spiritual master told him that try for a few more days and keep your attention on your mind, how the mind is working. Keep an attention on that. And try to find out what is the mind doing? What's the mind thinking about all the time? Where is the mind dragging you to? He told him like that. And because the nature of the mind is, wherever it has attachment, it will think about that, isn't it? Wherever you have attachment, that's where the mind will think about that. Suppose you have normal things what you do at home, say going shopping or paying your electricity bill. These things you won't be thinking about too much. As soon as the bill comes, if you have the money, you will pay it off. You won't be thinking about the bill 24 hours, would you? Nobody does that. Or even about shopping, you'll go there, do the shopping, come back, finish. That's over. So in those things, mind won't go and stick. But if you look at that, certain things, because these are things which are on a regular life, which is happening all the day, every week you are doing shopping, or daily you are shopping. It comes and it goes through. You not bother too much about it. Mind doesn't get sticking to it. But mind's nature is like this, that if it has attachment anywhere, in anyone or anything in this world, it will keep coming back inside. That's the nature of the mind. That is called asakti. Krishna uses the word asakti, isn't it? Mai asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya in the 7th chapter. So asakti, and they are the people, and especially personalities, that is where they come inside us. And once they come inside us, they'll keep coming back again and again. You think about someone, family, relations, friends, they all keep coming back again and again. Whereas the daily other things doesn't bother so much. So, and they are the ones who makes the mind to work, makes the mind active, isn't it? So he told him, the spiritual master told this grihastha, a sannyasi disciple, that you go and sit down and see who is coming into your mind again and again and causing this problem. So he finally found out who it was. But he was finding it difficult to say this to the spiritual master. Finally, when the spiritual master insisted, he said, it is a buffalo that is causing the problem. It will be very surprising to hear that. A buffalo can cause all these problems? That you can get attached to a buffalo that way? And that is what has shocked everybody. We all get shocked, isn't it? A buffalo, he got attached to, and he was in a big shock with the buffalo. Buffalo, he got attached, and he was in a deep shock about this. So, they asked him, what is that worrying you? He says, I'm thinking this, that is anybody feeding that buffalo properly on time? And is somebody caring for that buffalo? That's what's worrying me, he said. It's not going away from inside, he said. When I say this to you, you are laughing, aren't you? That for a buffalo, you are getting attached like this. What I was trying to tell you was that the way the mind works, So, if I tell you that, say, oh, Vishnu or Shiva or Krishna was coming to the mind all the time, then you won't laugh, would you? You will think, oh, such a wonderful soul. He's able to remember Krishna all the time. Krishna is coming to his mind without he meditating on Krishna. Normally Krishna walks in, he says. So what made the difference here? If I said Krishna or Vishnu or Shiva or whatever form of another form of the deity, whatever he was worshipping, you won't laugh. But when I said buffalo, you all laughed. Why? Why did you laugh? Because you started thinking, oh, buffalo. After all, it's a buffalo, isn't it? And he's attached to buffalo. Buffalo is considered to be a very lower animal, isn't it? And he's attached to buffalo. This is the effect of Namarupam does. That's what's important. What Namarupam can do to us. Without, just soon as I said it's buffalo, you all smiled, didn't you? Oh, buffalo you got attached to. Why did you smile? Because inside you, that vasana there made you think buffalo is a lower animal. You are seeing only the Namarupam of the buffalo. That vastu, which is in Krishna, which is in Shiva, which is in every other demigods also, that same vastu is in the buffalo also. Is it not? But when we notice said, and I said buffalo, you didn't take it. Immediately you took it on a bodily level, saw the form of the buffalo, and started, because of the vasana inside, about our impressions, what we have about the buffalo, we started thinking that he is not properly situated. What Krishna is saying to us, that same living force in the buffalo, and in Krishna, and in Ramachandra, and in Shiva, and in every other devata, in every living entity, if you see that same living force, then you have escaped. This is the whole truth behind the thing. It's not easy to get rid of that, because we have this inside every one of us. As soon as you see a form, Namarupam, immediately first thing what we'll do is that vasana will come out in some form. Oh, after all, it's a buffalo, we'll think. Isn't it? That's what we thought. So, similarly you can see, this Namarupam creates an emotion inside. Is it not? It creates an emotion immediately inside us. Instead, if I have said a ghost, what would I have? You don't look ghost. How does he look like? You will think. Because for us, that's what's important. How the ghost look like. But in that ghost also, what who is operating is the same living force inside that ghost also. Isn't it? So, that is why. And this, not seeing this Namarupam and seeing this presence of Atma, spirit in everything, that is what Krishna is saying. Vidya vinaya sambhane brahmane gavihasini shuni chaiva shvageja pandita samadarshinaha. Otherwise it is not possible. We have to see a brahmana, a dog and a dog eater equally. It requires tremendous effort from our side. Isn't it? Because inside us we have formed this impression about a brahmana, impression about a dog, and impression about a dog eater. All those impressions have to go from inside. Otherwise, it's not possible. Krishna is saying, unless this happens, the next verse cannot be realized. That is the difficulty. Unless this happens. So many vasanas we have collected and kept it inside. Now you see the depth of vasana what we have inside. In the same way, the dog, dog eater, this is only 2-3. But similarly, with each and every person you have come into contact with this world, you are carrying their impression inside you. People whom you have worked with in the offices, you're going to school and colleges, and your relations, friends, family members, and your enemies, they are all inside us in the form of vasana. As soon as I mention their name, immediately you will come out with a reaction. I say something, you say, oh, I know about him already. I know what it's like. You know why? Because your vasana is inside. You're carrying him inside this. What can you say? So it's like they say everything in this world. That is why they say, Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. Vishwam is inside us, not outside. World is inside us, not outside. That is where the world we have to, that is the world which we have to clean up, not the outside world. Outside world you can't clean up. It's no point in cleaning up the outside world. It's the inside world. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. Vishwam is like a mirror inside us. Each one of us, this world is reflecting inside us. And that world has to be clear. Krishna says, when that is clear, the next verse will do the job. That is the next verse all about. That preparing that, Krishna is saying here, that, so you will see this, that the way that Sanyasi was saying, that when he said Eruma, or the buffalo, or whatever that he saw, he says, what buffalo, he said. And the spiritual master didn't feel at all affected by that, by the form. That is the spiritual master's position. He was not affected. Whereas if the spiritual master said, oh, you see a buffalo inside, then he is not a spiritual master. That's what it is. Because he is also a buffalo. This is how it is. This is how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is not seeing this form outside and making judgments. That is the conditioned soul. Spiritually advanced and realized soul, they don't make judgment like that. There is an example of that also. That we see, because of our vision is so polluted with our vasanas inside, Krishna's point is here, that asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, he said, isn't it? You got to fight this. You got to fight, there is no other way. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. He says, very powerfully you have to cut it, this vasana inside. Vasana has to be removed inside. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, that buffalo has Atma, is not different from the Brahmana's Atma. Brahmana's Atma, or the soul, and the buffalo soul, they are all the same. There is no separate soul. Prime Minister has one soul. Presidents have a different type of soul. And it's not created like that. They also have the same Chaitanyam inside, living force inside, isn't it? So, then in everyone's heart, same Atma is present. That is why it's called Vasudeva, isn't it? That book is called Vasudeva Mananam. And why is it called Vasudeva Mananam? Because it's the same Atma who is present in everyone's heart. Present in everyone's heart. And Mananam, contemplation on that. That is Vasudeva Mananam. That is Vasudeva Mananam. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is saying like that, Bahunam Janmanam Ande Yanavanmam Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That is Vasudeva Mananam. Samahalma Sudurlabha, Krishna is saying. They are very, very rare. Because why? We have created this in us. This Namarupam, name and form. Whole life, all what we are doing is, we are taking this Namarupam inside and create stacking up inside. And that's what we have got, a huge library inside. So, years ago, there was one Sheshadri Swamiji in Tirunamalai. We mentioned about him before also. He was come out of this Namarupam state. He wanted to wander around like that. And many people used to like him, but at the same time they were a little bit frightened of him, of his seeing his nature. Sometimes people presented him various things, and someone bought him a nice shawl and gave it to him. What he did was, he cut the shawl into many, many small pieces and tied it on a buffalo, one piece on each horn and one on the tail, one on each of the legs. A very new, brand new, expensive shawl, he cut it into small, small pieces and tied it down on that. So, somebody asked him, why did you do that? He said, I've done this only one reason, that when people see this shawl, they will say, oh, whose shawl is this? I'll say, I've done that shawl and cut it on that. And if I do like that, people will say that that shawl was presented by someone. The man who presented, that was his idea. Others should know that I have presented this shawl to him. That was his idea. So let the people say what that shawl means to me. That was his point here. So, like this, he used to decorate this buffalo in this way with this shawl which has been cut into pieces. He used to walk around in that way. So, finally the person who bought the shawl couldn't bear it that he has treated in this way, he has cut the shawl down into so many pieces and done this. So he came up to him, to Sheshadri Swamiji, and says to him, please instruct me in spiritual life, he said. I want instructions from you. But everybody knew that he was a realized soul, lived there for quite a period of time. He has still his ashram, everything there. So he asked him, Sheshadri, that to give me instructions on spiritual life, he said. He looked at him for a moment and says to him, he said, what is this, he said, showing the buffalo to him. He says, it's a buffalo, he said. Again he asked him, what is it, he said. It's a buffalo, he said. Third time he asked, again he said, it's a buffalo, he said. So Sheshadri says to him, you are the buffalo, he said. Once you have reached that stage, they will see us in that way. That is why generally realized souls don't want to associate with conditioned souls. For this reason only. Because we will see everything through ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. They will see everything differently. See the soul behind it, isn't it? So, if you see Krishna is present inside, it is Krishna. It is Krishna. If you see Krishna is present in that body, then if you recognize that, not intellectual level, but in the realization level it has to happen. If it has happened like that, then it is Krishna who is present there. Instead, if you are seeing it through your emotions, attachment and aversions, you will see it as only buffalo. because that's the impression you are carrying about that animal. Now, buffalo does not know that it's a buffalo. It doesn't know that, isn't it? As far as buffalo is concerned, it doesn't have any particular attachment or any emotions in relationship with its body. And all it is that inside that body, that living force is there. Krishna is present there in that living force. Except that externally, it has a name and form. It has a name and form. So, as far as existence is concerned, you can see all of us, whether we are man, woman, boy, girl, or child, old man, whatever it may be, I don't always, only when I think I am an old man, I am an old man, isn't it? Otherwise, all the time, it's not in my consciousness. What I have is only awareness that I exist. Consciousness is only existing, but other things don't exist in me, because that cannot exist in me. Only when someone tells me that you are an older person, I know I'm gone old. I accept it, because based on the body and based on the other limitations on the body. Same thing with man, woman also, boy, girl, everything is like that. We don't think that we are that, isn't it? We don't think we are boy, we are girl, we are man, we are... Nobody makes themselves all the time conscious of that. What we are conscious of is our own existence only. That is what is called astitvam. Remember yesterday we said, astitvam priyam bhadi and namarupam. This is prapancham, creation is this. Out of that, that astitvam, which is called as the sat potency in the other terminology, that is that what it is referred to. So, wherever astitvam, but therefore, not through intellectualization, but through experience level, if this realization comes, Krishna is saying here that that ignorance, this is where the important point, this ajnanam, avidya inside, has to go from inside. How is that? Then, what is ignorance first of all? This is also another misunderstanding we all have. What is ignorance means? Ignorance means not knowing something is not ignorance. Not knowing something is not ignorance. That's only 50% of it. There is another 50% to it. What is that? To know something as something different. Just like when you look at the rope. Not know, when you saw the rope lying there. Not knowing it as rope is only half of the ignorance. The other half is the worst thing. Which one? To know that as a snake. That is the worst side. So other 50% is to know something as something different. That is, so ignorance is these two portions exist. These two things combined together is what they call as ignorance in the Shastra. Whenever we say ajnanam, in the Bhagavatam you will see this word coming. Ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Krishna says that, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita? Ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Jnanam is covered by ajnanam. What is that ajnanam means? Ajnanam means this. Not seeing something as it is not the whole thing, problem. Problem is, you are seeing it as something different than that. When you see the rope, you didn't know that it was a rope. That is only half your ignorance. The other half of the ignorance is seeing that rope as a snake. You have to keep this in the mind. Otherwise, many of the terminologies in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, if you don't have this background, you won't understand the word properly when Krishna is saying that. When Krishna is saying, ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava, you got to see it this way. We are not seeing the world properly. That is half our ignorance. But to see the world is made of five material elements is the other half. Actually, it is Krishna. World is Krishna, isn't it? As Bhagavatam says. But not seeing the world as Krishna is half our ignorance. But to see it as five material elements is the total ignorance, full ignorance. So this is what Krishna is saying like this. That this is the reason why, you know, in this world, people who are educated, they suffer more. Have you noticed that? Because educated people is collected a lot of ignorance in the head. Whereas uneducated person, they don't suffer so much like the educated one. The uneducated man, he knows he doesn't know anything. And he doesn't know what to do. He will leave it at that. Educated man cannot leave it. What he will do is, with all his education, he will try to counteract all the problems of this world and he will get into trouble. And you can, this is the reason, in this world, most of the problem is created by the educated people, not the uneducated. This is the reason behind that. That their ajnanam is much more than the man who, you can see this in the world. The very people who are doing highly educated, got all their doctorates and doing research in the big, big universities in the world, they create the greatest havoc in this world. They create all the chemical weapons, all the nuclear bombs, all kinds of destruction. They do. The ordinary person who is living in the forest uneducated, he does very little harm in this world. Is it not? Don't you see the logic in there? How ajnanam works in this world. This is what we have to learn. When you get all hundreds of doctorate degrees and research and scholars and everything, what are they busy with? Ajnanam. Is it not? That ajnanam grows and grows and grows and it comes in the world in the form of destruction. And when that destruction happens, they create the maximum havoc. Because they know how to destroy in a big way. Whereas the ordinary person who doesn't have any qualifications, education, or any kind of knowledge, he has not studied anything. All he knows is he needs his food at time to eat and he wants a place to sleep. His desires are limited. So who is better? We say education, education, education. We keep on repeating, this education, this is what it creates. Will create more havoc in this world. So, similarly, the person who is uneducated, he doesn't feel distress like the way an educated person feels the distress. Because of his education, when something happens in life, his distress is 10 times more than the uneducated one. Uneducated one will accept it, oh, in a stride of the life. He will say, after all, it's in the life, all these things will happen, what can I do? He is able to surrender that way. Whereas what will the educated man do? He will go all over the world looking for the solution because he has got the money behind it, he has got the intelligence behind it, how to solve the problem, and he will try all his best and he will suffer more than the so-called uneducated person. Uneducated person. Because his education will give him a lot of trouble at the end. So, there is a story about this. In a family, a child went to study psychology. He studied psychology and when he grew up, he became a psychologist, isn't it? That's what they become. So he became a psychologist. And he says that he will not care for his parents. He won't care for his parents. So that time, when somebody asked him that why you don't look after your parents or show any affection for them or any care for them, respect for them, he says, I've studied psychology and I come to the conclusion that that only one thing I have learned, he said, that why do I have to look after them? Psychology doesn't say that. He says, psychology has never said to me, after all, a man and woman has met each other and I was born from that. So, with that the matter is over, why do I have to care? This was his attitude towards the parents. This is how he answered that. He said, my psychological knowledge of psychology tells me that I don't have to worry about them. After all, I was born because they had a union and I was born, matter is finished there. That was his psychology, knowledge of the psychology. Then what happened was, when he had his own son later, when child was born for him, he says to him that whole situation changed. The whole situation changed when the son was born. He says at that time, so that is what Krishna is saying there. That this tree, that samsara, material existence, that tree which Krishna is talking about, Sometimes it comes downward, sometimes it goes upwards, he said. Remember? In the Urdhvamulam, Athashagam, Ashwatram, Rahur, Avyayam, Chandamsi, Yasya Varnani, Yastum, Vedasa, Vedavit. This is how it works. That we, with all our knowledge, we will try to conquer Krishna's instructions. We will try to work against it. But finally what happens? We fail. We won't make it. It's not possible. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. That this tree, what has grown in these branches and twigs and leaves everywhere, he says, this will keep growing as long as the sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam is there. They have to grow. That is Krishna's point. Because these three modes of material nature, they are present in everyone all the time. And naturally, they will make that tree to grow all the time. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. As long as these three modes of material nature are present in everyone, as long as they are present, the tree has to grow. That's how that tree grows. Which one? This banyan tree. This banyan tree grows like that. So therefore, what happens is, if you are in sattvagunam, you will develop an attachment through love to somebody. If you are in rajogunam, you will develop the same attachment but with the desires, expecting something in return. In sattvagunam, attachment will be without any expectations. Pure, in a much more purer form. In rajogunam, attachment will be based on expecting some returns from that. In tamogunam, you will have a connection with them, but with hate inside. You will curse your children and give them money. You have seen that sometimes? Parents do that. You get so disgusted with them that still you will give them, but instead you will curse them also. That's tamogunam. So you can't escape either way. Either it in sattvagunam or in rajogunam or in tamogunam, these relationships will continue in this world. Still you won't give up, attachment will continue in the same way. Sometimes you can see this. Marriage life also, it happens. Husband, wife, they'll curse each other and they'll continue each other together. They'll never give up. Why? The same gunam working there. Whole life you'll fight, but you won't go. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Who else can you blame? It's there in us. It won't go. Rarely that relationship is in sattvagunam. It's always in this rajogunam and tamogunam. So, therefore, Krishna says here that this whole three modes of material nature, it gets its food through the root. And that root is false ego. Root is the false ego. False ego sucks everything, gives into the three modes of nature, and then it affects the tree. It affects the tree. So then you can see why Vasishtha Maharshi said that in the Yoga Vasishtham. That it is not good enough cutting the root, he said. You have to burn the seed. You have to burn it, he said. Because once you burn the seed, then it cannot again germinate, isn't it? It cannot sprout anymore. It cannot sprout anymore. So to that extent, it's necessary. That is what Krishna is saying in that. So he says there, that pull that out completely, he says, that and this false ego, it will get strengthened as much as we engage in sense gratification. Sense gratification strengthens the false ego. And again and again, if you try to remove it, it will keep up coming back again in that way. So what do we have to do? That is what Krishna is saying, that through the asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. That sword called asangatvam, with that cut it, he said. That is what the verse is saying, that through the force of knowledge, cut that tree, Krishna is saying. And asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. And that asanga shastram is vairagyam. Asanga shastram is vairagyam. Through vairagyam, one has to develop the detachment. Asakti has to go through vairagyam. What do we have to do after that? He says, is it good enough if you have vairagyam and you give up this world? And you have given up this world, you have given up everything in this world, and you have given up your attachment to this world. What should you do next after that? That is what is that fourth verse is saying there. You can look at that. It says that
tadaparam dad parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravarti prasrada purani.
This verse comes after that, after the stage where one has developed that asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. In the last verse, Krishna said, after you have cut off all the attachment to the world, all the attachment to the world, and all the, what Krishna mentions here, that vairagyam has come, asakti has gone, attachment has gone, after asangatvam, as Krishna calls it, after that what one should do, that is that verse.
Tatap yadapadam dat parimargidamyam yasmin gada na nivartanta bhuyaha and tadeva chadyam purusham prabhati yadapravarti prasrada purani.
Yadapravarti prasrada purani. So, here, important thing that you have cut the tree at the root. Cut the tree at the root. In other words, the asakti or attachment has gone away. Just like the boat can stay in the water. Boat can stay in the water. But water should not get into the boat. Is it not? Water should not get into the boat. Boat can stay in the water. If the water gets into the boat, boat will sink. Water gets into the boat will sink. Isn't it? We have to live in this world. We have to live in this world. But world should not get inside us. That's what it is. World should not get inside us. If the world gets inside, then the problem starts. Then the problem starts. So that is what Krishna is saying in these words. How to live in this world without attachment to anything. Without attachment to anything. We have to live here. There is no other way. We have come right in the middle of that. But how to live in this world without any attachment here, that is what Krishna is expecting from us. In other words, without giving importance to Namarupam, name and form, fully realizing that Krishna is the only thing that is present in this creation, recognizing that, that tyagam is what Krishna calls it as proper renunciation. Recognizing Krishna's presence in this world and developing no attachment to any namarupam, name and form in this world, and living here is Krishna calls it as proper asangatvam. Proper asangatvam. That is first class. The second one, out of detachment, vairagyam, renunciation. For example, due to bad experience in this world, you give up things, isn't it? When you had gone through difficulties with the world, you give up attachment in many ways. Like what happens when someone dies, you go to the cemetery and then you feel renunciation inside. That vairagyam is considered to be middle class. The first class vairagyam, what Krishna is saying is that when you are able to see Krishna in a presence in everything knowing, accepting, recognizing Krishna is present everywhere, and not developing any attachment to Namarupam, that is first class detachment. The second class detachment is from experience, what has happened in life, that you are feeling a indifference towards the world, moving away from the world. The third one is when you hate something and you give up. That also happens, isn't it? When you hate someone, what you do? You completely give up finally with you. So, uttamam, madhyamam, adhamam. The three levels. First class asangatvam, second class asangatvam, third class asangatvam. Krishna talks about asangatvam. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. That asangatvam is in these three categories. One out of hate towards someone, you become indifferent to it. Secondly, due to your experiences in this world, you come to understand that that can happen, and a kind of vairagyam comes inside. What is known as smashana vairagyam. That from death, you know, that, oh, it can happen to me one day, but afterwards you will leave that. But proper vairagyam, what Krishna is saying is, that knowing very well, Krishna is only present here, nothing else in this creation, and recognizing that namarupam, no attachment to any namarupam, through knowledge that happens. And that is what Krishna calls as the best renunciation. So, this vairagyam, upeksha, upeksha means giving up through vairagyam, that is what Krishna calls it as asanga shastram. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. So, therefore, first thing we have to know that nothing is permanent here. That is the first realization, isn't it? Nothing is permanent here. And this has to come, this realization has to come inside through discrimination. Within ourselves it has to happen. Within ourselves. So, so that is why Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this. In Brihadaranya Upanishad you can see this. Yajnavalkya Maharshi, having a conversation with Maitreyi, he had two wives, Kartikeyani and Maitreyi. So he tells Maitreyi, Maitreyi says to Maitreyi, Maitreyi, anything you see in this world separated from Atma, from the soul, and if you love that outside Atma, anything, ultimately it will all give you distress and will leave you. This is asangatvam in knowledge. Asangatva means knowledge. That's why when Yajnavalkya Maharshi told Maitreyi about asangatvam, what Krishna is talking about here, he only spoke about asangatvam in knowledge. What is that? He says to Maitreyi, gopis did the same thing, isn't it? Gopis gave up their attachment to the family members. How? Through knowledge they gave it up. Through knowledge. When they saw that Krishna is present in everyone. Are you not the one as the Atma of everyone? Patisudadibirarthi deikim, he says there in the Bhagavatam. Remember? In the 10th canto. That seeing Krishna as the soul of everyone, gopis gave up their attachment to the family members. That is the type of asangatvam, the best first class asangatvam. The second class asangatvam is the vairagyam that comes from experiences of this world. Like through your discriminative power, you develop detachment. You see the difference there. The first one is through knowledge. What is the knowledge? Knowledge is this. That Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, if you see anything in this world separately from soul and you get attached to that name and form, Maitreyi, it will finally give you trouble, distress and go away. That is our experience also. Experience also is like that. Gopis mastered this art very well. Have they not? When you look to gopis, Shiva Brahmarshi brings gopis like this in front of us to telling us that Shiva Brahmarshi says about Sudeva Goswami saying that these gopis, what was their speciality? Speciality was this, that when this Krishna asked them to go back home and to look after the family members, gopis are asking Krishna, who are these family members at the end? To ask that question, unless there is knowledge, it's not possible. Those who are in the bodily identity will think that family members as body. Instead, what did they say? Who are they? That was the answer. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see their words. Just the words itself is openly Krishna is saying there that in the, if you look into the chapter, that Gopi says to Krishna that that the in the 31st chapter 29 it comes earlier I think 29 to 33 is the rasa dance there when the gopis are from Yat patya patya suhrudaham anumurtirengam. This is the gopi's answer. Verse 32 in 29. Yat patya patya suhrudaham anumurtirengam.
Srinam sudharmamidhi dharma vidhatva yoktam astvevamedadubadeshamadetvaishe preshto bhavam stanubradam kila bandhuralma.
You are telling us that they are my relatives, but who are they? Gopis are asking this to Krishna. Who are these relatives? They are you. Gopis have reached that state. That is how they gave up their attachment. Gopis didn't give up the attachment because just Krishna told them like that. They didn't do that. Instead, Krishna was again testing them, checking out how far they have come in spiritual life. They, as soon as Gopis answered them, Astu eva meda upadesha pade tvaishe preshto bhavam tanubridham kila bandhu alma. All our bandhu relations and everything is you, because you are there in their bodies, in those bodies, sitting there as our children, as our parents, as our husbands, as our brothers and sisters, whatever that is, it's all you who is sitting there in that form. This is what Krishna is talking about. That till this happens, and then kuruvandihi tvairadham kushalaswamalman nityapriye padisudadibir artideikim. Nityapriye padisudadibir artideikim. Gopi saying to Krishna. They are Krishna, gopis are saying to Krishna, kuruvandihi tvairadham kushalaswamalman. Already gopis are seeing here that this Alma, Krishna, Krishna is the Alma, who is present in all of them. So this vision, what Prahlada had, gopis had the same vision. They are saying that who are sitting there at home in the form of our brothers, sisters, parents and children and all that. Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasvam alman nityapriye padisudadibir arti dayikim. We are feeling attachment to them. Why? Because you are there in them. Therefore this attachment has come. Otherwise, where? Because all attachment is coming from Krishna. This is the principle. Father feels attachment to the children. Mother feels attachment to the child. Till we realize this attachment, the source is Krishna. Once you have realized that, you will escape. But if you start realizing all the time, attachment on the bodily level, if it remains, we will come back again. This is the truth. This is the truth. That is why those verses, Kurvandi hitto iradim kushalasvama alpman nityapriye, nityapriyam. That nityapriyam is Krishna. Nityapriyam is Krishna. From Krishna comes everything, that priyam, attachment, isn't it? So knowing well that all attachment from comes from Krishna and not developing any attachment to Namarupam in that way is called the best asangato. That is the first class renunciation. So renunciation in three categories. Number one, which is based on knowledge. Number two, from experiences in this world, giving it up. Number three, out of hate happening. The third one. Sattugunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. Three modes of nature. It will happen. Nitya priye padisudadibir artideikim. Therefore, because Gopi says to Krishna, you are telling us to go back to family members. What have they done to us so far in life? Except they have given us a lot of distress and finally they have gone. Giving all the distress and they will leave us ultimately. That is why Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying to Maitreyi that if you develop attachment anywhere in this world, not knowing Krishna's presence in that living entity, it is Krishna who is present there. And if you develop attachment in that level, you won't get experience distress. Instead, identify with the body and develop attachment. Finally, no matter who it is, they will all put you into distress and they will go. They will finally leave us. This is that principle Krishna has spoken. We'll have a short break now. All. Chedo darpanam arjanam moha davar nilavavanam shreyakai navachandriya vidaram vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatnam subhanam bharam vijayate shri krishna sangirtanam namnahamagari bahudadija sarvashakti tatrapidadija vidasmaranena kala eda krishidava kripa bhagavan namami durdeva medrishamihachani nanuragaham pranara vishnichena karora visahishnuna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam
That is the nature of the material existence or the Ashwatha tree, what Krishna spoke about, isn't it? Narubama seha tatova labhyate na adir na andar na chadir na ja sampratishta. Then the solution is asanga shastrena dridhena chitva ashwathamenam suvirutamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So that line, last line, asanga shastrena dradena chitva, that requires a lot of analysis. We got to understand that properly. What is this asanga shastrena dradena chitva? Krishna is saying to us that asangatvam, asangatvam, that is the solution to the problem. But that asangatvam also, based on the three modes of material nature, it will change. That's the important thing. That asangatvam, detachment, will change based on the modes of nature. In sattvagunam, you can see, you will develop a one way of relationship. In rajogunam, all the expectations will be there when the relationship is built up. In tamogunam, it will be through hate. It will be through hate. In sattvagunam, when you develop asangatvam, it will be like the way Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreya, or like the way gopis gave up their attachment. That is the way, the proper way of asangatvam Krishna is talking about. The best example in the Bhagavatam are the gopis, isn't it? When Krishna asked the gopis to go back home, they didn't. They say to Krishna, Kurvandi hitto iradim kushalasvamalman nitya priye padisukhadi virati deikim. Through gopis, Shukha Brahmarshi is telling us, this is how a devotee should be. That you are talking about this so-called attachment. Where is this attachment coming from? It's coming from Krishna, isn't it? The source of attachment, everything, anywhere we feel attachment, where is it coming from? Alma. Alma is the source. Kurvandi hitto iradim kushalasvam alman nityapriye padisudhadibirarti deikim. That we have attachment for the father, parents, husbands, children, all of them we have attachment. But where is that coming from? Is that not you? They asked Krishna. Krishna couldn't answer that because that is the truth, isn't it? Situated because Krishna is in their heart, present there, and gopis have recognized that presence of Krishna there, that attachment they were able to cut through. It didn't bother them anymore because it is the same Krishna's manifestation. They didn't look at the name and form as father, parents or husbands or children. Instead, what did they see? All of them as Krishna Swarupam. Therefore, they could develop that asangatvam from them. Otherwise, it's not possible. So you can see how much it has to change in all of us, isn't it? Before such a stage has to happen. That change of vision, that is what Krishna is saying. Whereas there is through vairagyam you can have asangatvam. Now, for example, through bad experiences in life, you become detached. Vairagyam comes, isn't it? Sometimes, suppose you had some very hard life in this world. due to poverty or due to some relationship problems, something happened in life. Sometimes it happens that men, love affair broke down, everything went wrong, and then they decided not to get married again. There are men like that. Same thing with the women also. It happens in life. That comes from not from knowledge. That comes from frustration. That is what Krishna is saying. These three levels, asangatvam can happen. One through knowledge, like the way it has happened to the gopis. Another through frustration, like it happens in love affairs and so many other ways it happens. And third, due to hate. Suppose you start hating someone, then asangatvam comes. So in all three levels, it can happen. That is why they are mentioning here, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, the importance of developing asangatvam in knowledge. Why? Because in knowledge you will know that every object in this world, if you do not develop attachment in the proper way, like Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, what will happen is, every object, wherever you have developed to any namarupam, if you have developed attachment, finally it will give you distress and it will go from your life. When some close family member with whom you had a very nice relationship, wife or husband or children or relations, anybody, doesn't matter. Sometimes in family relationships it's more risky because that's a very close relationship, isn't it? And you have a relationship like that, and that one day something happened and they left the world and gone, and then you are in distress, isn't it? Because of the attachment you have to suffer. Was the attachment. Whereas, if that proper knowledge like the gopis had, they were able to give it up even before they left the world. Is it not? That is gopis' success. And that's where our failure is. We fail there, gopis pass the test. Gopis pass the test. We fail there. We fail, we suffer as soon as death happens, immediately we feel, oh, what can I do now? This misery has come and all kinds of distress comes in life. Is it not? So that is important thing. Understanding these differences. Asanga shastrena dhrdhena chitva. When Krishna says that, Krishna means a lot in that. Narubamasya ehatato balabhyade nando nachadirnaja sampradishtaham ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dhrdhena chitva. That is the way to break that connection with the world. Only in the way gopis have broken the connection. Only the way gopis have broken the connection, in the same way we have to learn to break the connection with the world. That's the most important message in that. So Maitreyi says to him, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, that if you give importance to anything in this world separately from Alma, separately from the soul, and if you make develop your love towards that, ultimately it will give you more distress because you have developed attachment there. It will give you more distress. Anything in this world which you have gone and caught hold of in this way, finally they will leave you and go. That's the nature of this world. It will not stay with you forever. Finally, it will leave you, no matter who it is. So to that extent, we have to become Krishna conscious, to know this and to develop that understanding inside. Otherwise, life will be full of distress. So that is what Krishna is saying here. If we don't give up that attachment, they will give it up. They will force us to give it up. So if we know this truth, that this is the truth, then vairagyam will come. Detachment will come. And what we normally do is, when we hear about vairagyam, we will keep all this knowledge in the brain. We'll keep it in the brain. But it doesn't matter. Even if it is remaining in the brain, it will come useful. When it is necessary, it will come. Do you know where it happened? For Parikshit. Parikshit had this. Parikshit knew everything. And that is the reason when Parikshit was told that Takshaka is going to bite, Parikshit was able to throw away his palace
and walk out from there. Why? This knowledge was in Parikshit. He mentions that in the Bhagavatam, you can see. When he said, if you look at the Bhagavatam in the first canto, Parikshit mentions this. That this is Parikshit's understanding. Just see the depth of understanding. A great personality, Parikshit. We will say, oh, Parikshit was Krishna's devotee, therefore Krishna has protected. That is all right, that is there. But to make that decision, Parikshit needs knowledge. Otherwise he could have made this. If you look at the first canto, in the last chapter when Shiva Brahmarshi comes there and speaks to him, how did Parikshit respond to that? You will see there, in that 19th chapter, the verse, 5th verse, Adho vihayena mamunjalokam vimarshido heyadaya purastan Krishna visevam adhimanyamanam upavishal prayam amartyanadyam. This is Parikshit's statement. If you analyze that verse, you will know it very well, what he's talking about. He's saying, adho vihayam amum chalokam vimarshito heyadaya purastal vimarshito. Vimarshito means, he has scrutinized this world very well. Who? Parikshit. Parikshit saying, I have scrutinized this world very well. Vimarshito. Vimarshito means scrutinizing this world. Heyadaya purastad, and I come to certain conclusions. What is that? Krishna angri seva adhimanyamanam upavishal prayam amartyanadyam. By serving Krishna, which means self-realization, isn't it? That is serving Krishna means, realizing the truth. That is service to Krishna. Parikshit is not saying, I've done so many aradis or so many harinams or anything. Krishna is saying that Krishna angri seva madhimanyamanam. Krishna angri seva, that means self-realization and serving Krishna that way. That is the type of realization necessary for that. Upavishal prayam avartyanadhyam. I know if I do that, Krishna says, Parikshit says, I will become amartyan. No death for me after that. After that, there is no death for me. So this analysis, Parikshit has done in his intellectually level. But when he was cursed by Takshaka, and he realized that in a 7 days time he has to leave the body, that knowledge came useful for him. He was able to, because this understanding was there in his brain, when it was required, he was able to throw. Otherwise, how could he have walked out from the palace like that, like the way he did? The emperor of the whole planet is doing this, isn't it? Something amazing. We find difficult to give up our one bedroom flat. And here is Parikshit, who owns the whole planet, who was ruling. He had no difficulty walking out. In the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, you will see so many personalities like this spoken. How they walked out from everything. Why did they say like that? You know, Parikshit is going to leave his body. Do you think Parikshit is interested in listening to all the lineage of the solar dynasty and lunar dynasty? How does it help him? This is the reason. To show to Parikshit that, look Parikshit, like you, in the past, many, many great kings, great, great personalities, all of them. If you look at the Mandhada, Ikshvaku, Mujukunda, and a number of them listed there, isn't it? Great souls. All of them, what did they do? When the time came, they left the king palace and walked out and went in the forest. How could they do that? Unless the knowledge was there. So knowledge comes to the help at the time when we need it. That is why Krishna says here, that to know that it is temporary, this world is temporary. Pitrulokam, that is also temporary. Higher planets, that's also temporary. And to know that, through what Parikshit uses the word? Vimarshanam, isn't it? Vimarshanam. Khedaya purasad, he says. He has scrutinized it very well. Vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means critically he has studied it. He has studied very critically. Very critically he has studied the situation. What is the situation of this planet, higher planets, lower planets, Pitrulokam, everything. He has critically studied that and he has come to this, developed this understanding that when the seventh day death is going to come, Parikshit says to him, Parikshit is saying, Krishna has given me an opportunity. That is how Parikshit responded. That's the beauty of that. We will not say that, would we? But Parikshit is saying, Krishna has given me an opportunity to realize the truth. Can you imagine the greatness of Parikshit? This is why we have to pay our respects to Parikshit. Which other emperor has spoken like this in this world? When he was knew that in 7 days' time he was going to leave his body, Parikshit is saying that Krishna has given me an opportunity to realize the truth. That kind of realization Parikshit had inside in him. So Parikshit had heard all these things before. It was not that it all happened at the time of death. Suddenly, it didn't happen that way. Parikshit had a lot of satsangam before. Many, many great sages used to come to the palace and speak to Parikshit about the Shastram. He has heard from Markandeya Maharshi. Later on you will see this. Markandeya Maharshi used to speak. Dhaumya, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinarada Maharshi. They were all regular visitors in Parikshit's palace. And they used to speak from the Shastram. Parikshit has collected all the knowledge what was necessary. It was in his head. When it was necessary, it came to his help. It came to his help. So that is the most important thing. That's the most important thing to know. So when Parikshit realized that all these things are temporary, there is no point in fighting over this and to chase things after them, he realized that, so he decided to look for the higher realization of the truth. Although up to 36 years or so he ruled the planet, and when he had to leave, Yudhishthira Maharaj brought Parikshit, who was 16 years old at that time, put him on the throne and told him that keeping Krishna's instructions in your mind, rule this planet. And just like the way Parikshit gave up the palace, Yudhishthira Maharaj also gave up, is it not? He walked out from the palace and went to the Himalayas to give up his body, followed by all the other Pandavas, Kunti Devi, Draupadi, everyone followed him. It is famous in the Bhagavatam, Pandavas Mahaprasthanam it is called. Mahaprasthanam means finally saying goodbye to the world. So this is the tradition of those great personalities, that when the right time comes, when to say goodbye to the world, to say goodbye and walk out from here. That needs that understanding, proper understanding. So that is what Parikshit has also done, the same thing. Krishna decided that through Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam should come to this world. That was Krishna's decision. So we have spoken this before also, and it's the same thing. Narubhavaseha tadoba labhyade nando na chadir na cha sampratishta ashwatthamenam suvirudha moolam asanga shastrena drudhena chitva drudhena chitva. So when we study these verses, you have to keep in mind the spirit of that verse. That's more important. Don't go just by the translation and what the purport. The translation purport can only tell you what is, so to some extent. But when you analyze that, scrutinize that verse, you will see how far it affects us in our spiritual life. Only then you can appreciate these verses. They are like mantra Krishna has spoken. Mantra means, when you chant a mantra, you don't have the effect of the mantra, isn't it? Initially, you are just verbalizing it and speaking through the lips. But hidden behind that mantra, there is a lot of things. Mantra is only the essence of something that is already packaged into that. A great potency is packaged into the mantra. When we chant Hare Krishna, we vibrate that through our tongue. But the potency behind that mantra is unknown to us at the moment. When you chant the mantra for a very long period of time, and if you do attain perfection in that mantra, then you will know the potency of the mantra. Otherwise you won't know it. You will just think it is only a sound vibration. Similarly, these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly these verses, is like that. When you read the verses, translation purport, you will think that, I have understood. No, you haven't understood. Only when you see the depth of that verse, how far it affects our spiritual life, you can appreciate the thoughts behind that verse. Like a mantra. Mantra sadrisham, they call it. Mantra sadrisham means exactly like a mantra, these verses Krishna has spoken. Which one? Particularly these two verses. Narubamaseha tadobalabhyade nandona chadir naja sampratishka ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanta shastrena dridena chitva. And then tadapadam dad parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabhadi yada pravrti prasrida purani. It's like an Upanishad mantra. They are called Upanishad mantra. Upanishad mantra means that a lot is packaged into it. It's up to us to go and search for it. What is mentioned there? What is Krishna trying to tell us? You have to know that, isn't it? Just knowing the meaning is no good. You just have to know in what circumstances it all affects us in our own spiritual journey. So, I said this story before also, a famous pearl merchant, Patnathar story, if you remember. Again, I'll repeat the story because story is so significant. How Vairagyam came to him. How Vairagyam comes in life. This, when we say Asanga Shastrena Dridena Chitva, this Asangatvam is generally means Vairagyam. But Asangatvam is a much more reformed word in the sense. Not Vairagyam means Vairagyam can happen. There is this famous book Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrahari's 100 verses on Vairagyam. If you read that book, it will develop Vairagyam. It can help to develop Vairagyam inside. But Asangatvam is a step further than that. As we said, like when you talk in terms of Maitreya, to Yajnavalkya Maharshi is talking to Maitreya, or Gopi is talking to Krishna, they are all Asangatvam. It's not only Vairagyam. On a higher level, that is. Patanathar's case, he was a businessman. He was a big businessman. And that too, he did business with the pearls. That means very rich, isn't it? They're rich people. Because they're dealing with gold or pearls and all that. They're very expensive things. They were doing business. And he had a son whom he wanted to train. He had no children initially. But somehow or the other, he took fostered a child and brought him up and wanted to make him a good. What happened was that a Brahmana had a few children. One of those children, and Brahmana was very, very poor. He was finding it very difficult to look after them. They were so poor. Something like Sudama situation. One day, Patanathar had no children. He was traveling through a street in the town where he lived, and he saw a lovely looking boy there, and he got attracted to the child and wanted to bring up that child, knowing very well that the child is coming from a very poor Brahmana family. The Brahmana was happy to hand over the child for Patanathar to take care. So Patanathar brought the child and brought him up. Having born in that Brahminical background, he had good vasanas in him. Patanathar didn't take into account. He was a businessman. So naturally, his eyes are always on the money. Isn't it? Their eyes will always be on the banknote. She can make from that. So he thought that he should be trained in the same way, in the same family tradition. Tried very hard to develop him as a businessman. So his sales manager and sales executives, whoever was doing the selling those days, they used to travel by ship to other countries. For months together they will go away in ship. And they will sell the pearls to different rich customers. And they will make a lot more money from that. So pearl business, they carried on like this. So in order to train the son, he sent the son with them to get trained. He went with them, and for a few months they were all together in some other faraway country, and then they came back. When they came back, Patanathar wanted to hear from his sales managers how his son was getting trained in the business. So when the son came back, father, Patanathar asked him, how much did you sell? How much money did you make? He wanted to know. What he did was, he had a lot of cow dung in the form of balls. He threw it on the face and told him, that's your wealth, you can have it. He said, I'm going, he said. And he walked out from there. But before he walked out, he handed over a small box to the mother and told her that, open that box after I left. I'm going away for a few days, saying that he left. Patanathar was completely angry with him for what he did. I have tried to develop him as a businessman. All business people try to bring up their children like that, isn't it? They want to become better in business than themselves. So that way they make more rich and make more money, and the empire will grow further and further. Unending desires inside. So mother didn't know that what was going to happen. The son walked out from there. Patanathar got very upset with the son for what he did. He asked those who have come back with him that how did his son fare in the business. They said he is just like a useless person. He has no qualities of businessman in him. It's a waste of time. And they said that he is just a burden liability for you. And Patanathar was in an angry mood walking in the house, called his wife and asked her, where is he? Call him here, he said. She said, he has gone away, given me a box and told me that whatever he wants to tell me, he has written there, he'll come back later, and he has gone. They opened the box. Inside the box there was a needle, a broken needle, and a small note saying that even this needle you won't be able to carry with you when you go from here. This was the message written on that slip paper. And she opened this and gave it to Patanathar. Patanathar got completely frustrated with life. And he comes out and he says to his manager, because they had so much wealth, he says to them that, I'm going, he said. And manager asked him, what should I do with all this money? At least you should do something about it. Tell us what we should do with it. He says, you can throw it in the street, he said. All the wealth. Had so much wealth, he said, throw it away, he said. And walked out from there. Picked up one earthen pot and went and sat in the front of a famous temple. Like a beggar, he sat there. Like a beggar, he sat there. So, so what we find here is that this vairagyam that has come to Patanathar in that way, he never turned back from that. He remained in that state for the rest of his life. So, here one thing is spoken that the king, with whom he had a very close relationship at that time, he used to visit the king before, because he paid very high taxes, a lot of money to the king. Naturally, you get a higher value then, isn't it? If you pay more taxes, you will be honored. If you pay no taxes, then you won't be honored. That's a simple rule then, and it's now also. It hasn't changed. So, so he said, the king never seen Patanathar for a long time. So one day, king was traveling on the horse, and he saw in front of the temple someone sitting there with this begging bowl. King went up to him. Patanathar recognized the king has come. King also recognized Patanathar. He didn't get up. The king asked Patanathar that, why do you do all these things? What was the necessity for all these things? What difference does it make that you have come and sat like this here? He says, the difference is this. Previously, you used to sit on the throne. I used to come and stand in front of you. Now, I am sitting and you are standing. He said, that's the only difference, he said. So, vairagyam or detachment or renunciation, it changes everything, isn't it? It changes our perception of life. Today we think a rich man is everything he has got. We respect the richness of the person and feel honored by that and things like that. But once the asakti, attachment has gone, Krishna is saying here, vairagyam can do this. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. So, similarly, it's not necessary that you have to be a Patanathar like that. It has to happen somehow. That's the most important thing. Most important thing. Because you will see here in the Bhagavatam also,
there are people in different ways they develop this asangato. Patanathara has developed in one way, he got detached from the world. He decided himself that I don't need this anymore, all this wealth. What do I do? What am I doing this for? Making wealth and then endlessly working whole life to make money. All business, a lot of business people leave this world in frustration, isn't it? They make so much money and then they don't know why they were doing it. But then suddenly one day the body goes and then the wealth remains, something goes to charity, something goes to relations, something goes to government. Like this, and something, whoever can snatch something out of it, they will snatch also. Always it's happening, you can see. In everywhere this happens, that how the wealth goes away in so many different directions. Someone works very hard in life, very business-like, and accumulated a lot of wealth. And finally, one morning, he has left the body, and it's all shared by all these people. In the Bhagavatam, in the Bhikshugita, you will see who all will get the share. Family will get a share. Government will get, inland revenue will get a share. Is it not? And similarly, somebody who is clever enough to extract something out of it, he will also get a share of that. So this way all the wealth will go. Now, in knowing all these things, Patanathar had the intelligence to throw it away and walk out like that. When he saw that, this life has no meaning. That was his understanding, he came to understand that. Actually, that son who was born, he was actually an incarnation of Subramanya. In order to teach Patanathar this lesson, he had to, he, all these things happened. So later on, Patanathar becomes a famous devotee and he lived rest of the life in spiritual consciousness, understanding. This you see one side. On the other side, you also see personalities like Janaka. Don't you? Janaka's life, if you look at, Janaka was a great emperor. Was it not? Was a great emperor in the Solar dynasty. And Janaka says that Janaka and Ashtavakra, if you read the conversation, you will see there, Ashtavakra and Janaka talking to each other. And in the middle, Ashtavakra's disciples comes and say, complains about Janaka to Ashtavakra. Then why you are giving so much attention to Janaka? But Ashtavakra knew Janaka's consciousness. Janaka says, even the whole palace is burning, it does not disturb me. That was that asangatvam in Janaka. Janaka's renunciation was like that. Why? Through knowledge. Through knowledge. Because when you see this creation, what Krishna has created, narubamasyeha tadovalabhyade nando nachadir naja sampradishtaha. When you see that, and when it is fully realized like Janaka, that's the kind of renunciation that will happen. That means Janaka knew well the nature of this tree, is it not? This tree, what Krishna is talking about, Janaka knew the nature of that tree. That is why he was not disturbed. That means through knowledge. Through knowledge. It has happened to Janaka in this way. So, so both these different types you will see in this world, how this asangatvam comes to people. So, and Janaka, while with this full realization, he was running the administration of the kingdom. His administration was like that. And Janaka's disposition was known to Vedavyasa Maharshi. That is why Vedavyasa sent Shuga Brahmarshi to go to Janaka. Shuga Brahmarshi has come to a Paramahamsa stage, is it not? And he has been sent to a householder to study, to realize this truth. Remember, that story is in the Palpuranam, where Shuga Brahmarshi is getting instructions on spiritual life from King Janaka, a householder. That's the beauty of that. That why? Janaka's state was such. That was the important thing. Householder he may be, doesn't matter. But the state of consciousness was such that this narubamasyeha tadobalabhyade nando na chadir naja sampradishta. This was the state of consciousness in him. Never disturbed by anything that is happening in this creation, Maya. Because he knows very well, it is nothing but Maya that is running this whole show. And therefore, there asanga shastrena dridena chitva. There was never a moment when Janaka was disturbed. Somebody reported artificially Ashtavakra Maharshi set fire to the palace. Actually, it gave the impression to everyone that the palace is burning. So from the palace they came running, saying that to the king, that Janaka, that palace is burning. He says, it does not bother me, he says. Who? Janaka says, it does not bother me. If you read Ashtavakra Gita, you will see this whole discussion between Ashtavakra and Janaka. That one who is fixed on the truth, these things would not matter. This thing, to that extent they are fixed. That's the important thing. It's not in the intellectual level, it is in the realization level. That's what it is saying here. So different acharyas, they will teach us to learn this science in different ways. Sometimes people say that when you cut the jackfruit, you have to put the oil on the hand and then cut so that it doesn't stick. That not sticking, that is that asanga shastrena dradena chitva. So with this knowledge, Krishna is saying, you can do vyavaharam in this world. That is how all the realized souls do their vyavaharam in this world, in this way, with this knowledge behind. So there is a interesting story about Sadashiva Brahmendra like this. He was walking through a field once. Sadashiva Brahmendra was always in a very intoxicated state, like our Jadabharata and others, always in that state of consciousness. But while he was living, while he was lying down on the ground, he had a pillow. And the pillow was a wooden plank. He was using it as a pillow to give some lift to the head. We like our Dunlop pillow cushions, isn't it? But that wasn't it. All he could get was a piece of wood he picked up from the forest, and he was using it as a pillow. And he was lying down there. Two ladies were walking through that route. They were walking along that. So one of the ladies says to the other lady, look at Sadashiva Brahmendra, how detached he is. That he is lying down in this way, and how renounced he is, has no attachment anywhere. So realized he said, she says to other lady. So what did the other lady say? Other lady said, don't talk to me about him. He said, look at him, he's still attached to his head. Otherwise, why does he need this pillow? To that extent, that attachment was there. Sadashiva Brahmendra heard this comment from the other lady. So when the ladies passed away, gone from there, he threw away that pillow. And he used his hand and started sleeping with the hand as the pillow, like this, like we do sometimes, isn't it? Hand as the pillow. So he was sleeping like this. And after a while, the two ladies were coming back. So he wanted to hear what the ladies had to say about him now. Krishna is saying, that vasana also has to go from inside. That means, if you have still a vasana inside, to know what the world is recognizing you or not, that means it's not complete yet. Vairagyam is not complete yet. So when they were coming back, the same lady said to other lady, that, oh, he has thrown away the wood, but the hand he has not thrown away, has he? This verse is coming. So after hearing this, Sadashiva Brahmendra understood. He says this. There's a book called Alpajnana Vilasam, where he mentions this, that I learned from this, that even that slightest desire in me, that what is the world thinking about me? If I have that, that means I still have not reached that state. What Krishna is talking here. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. Dridena chitva means you should be able to cut it off completely. That means what the world thinks about you, what the world says about you, all these things should not be anymore in your mind. It cannot. You should be able to throw even that away from inside. Not only the physical thing, but even the world opinion on that. He mentions like that. So that is what this asanga, this word is, word means a lot. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. So tadaparam that parimargidavyam yasmin gadanani nivartanti bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham purapravadye tadapravarti prasada purani. After that only
any point in going into the next words when this stage comes. Krishna is saying, tadaparam tad parimargidavyam. Tadaparam means after that. You can look into the next words. So in other words, you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, three things are spoken, isn't it? Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. Jnanam and Vairagyam is Bhakti's children. That is how it's presented there. So if these two children are not strong, mother will never be happy. When you have healthy children, mother feels happy, isn't it? So these two children, which are Jnanam and Vairagyam, when they are very strong, Bhakti will be there. Bhakti will also be happy. Otherwise, you can't have very two sick children all the time. And then how the Bhakti will go? Bhakti will never be happy. Bhakti can never be happy. That is why that relationship between the Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam, these things are spoken in the Bhagavatam, in the Puranam like that. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. You know the story, Narada Maharshi goes to several places and he finds that everywhere Bhakti is not followed properly. And finally he reaches Vrindavanam. There he sees this young lady lying down with two old children. So he asked her, this is in the story way spoken. The principle is more important. Story way, when he says that the mother is looking 20, 25 years old. Children are looking 80, 90 years old. So Narada Maharshi thought there's something wrong here. Children looking so old and the mother looking much younger. So he finds out, Bhakti Devi says to Narada Maharshi, they are my children, they are in that state, that's why I'm in this misery. I'm feeling very unhappy about it. Do something about it. Then Narada Maharshi goes to all over the world looking for a solution. And that story is in the Padma Puranam, you can read that. That is the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Padma Puranam, that story. So important thing is, Jnana Vairagyam is a part of Bhakti. If there is proper Jnanam, proper Vairagyam, there will be proper Bhakti. Without Jnana Vairagyam, if you cultivate Bhakti, that Bhakti will be the way it is. It will all be, will be doing all sorts of things, thinking that it's all Bhakti, but it will not have the proper benefit of the Bhakti. So that's what Krishna is saying there. We will continue with this tomorrow. Meanwhile, have some care then. Some glory to Shri Prabhupada.